Hello everyone, thanks for joining me today at the Tech Days. We are going to spend some time talking about optimizing apps for various screen sizes. When I first proposed a session about this topic, which was over a year ago, we were still looking at Windows 8 apps. We hadn't really heard of Windows 8.1 yet. We were still looking at just various view states. We had the full view state, the snapped view state, and the filled view state. But throughout the last year, there have been quite some developments. We had Windows 8.1 with some various new possibilities of basically having fully responsive apps. And just a few weeks ago, we were introduced to the universal apps. So in this session, I will mostly focus on the Windows Store apps and how you can optimize them for the various scenarios in which a user is going to use it, either the small tablets, the big screens, etc. Since we have universal apps now, I will also touch on that topic a bit, because you can easily reuse your Windows code on Windows Phone. But first, let me tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Tom Verhoef. I used to be a hobbyist developer, just doing some Windows Phone apps for fun a few years ago. But then together with some friends, I started the company Mathilium. And right now we are focused on developing high-quality apps for the Windows platform. That can be Windows Phone and Windows 8, mostly in the Dutch market, but some international apps as well. Let me show you a few of the apps we built. Now, some of the ones we're most proud of are the Booking.com app you see down left, the NOS app for the Dutch news broadcaster. And in those apps, we try to make realize the full potential of the Windows platform. So we are going to talk about layout, design, and the assets you use within the apps. So the first thing most people, sometimes confuse is the relation between layout and assets. So let me put this straight from the beginning. Layout is all about positioning UI objects on the screen. So which objects do you have? Where do you put them? What's the relative size on the screen? Assets are the images, the videos, other graphics that are available. And when you're looking at small screens, huge screens, low resolution, high resolution, layouts and assets are really two separate things. Assets really come into play when you're looking at the various resolutions and higher resolution, smaller screens, and how they combine, and how you might want to use low-quality images if you're looking at a really small screen with a low resolution, but then once the resolution increases, you might want to do higher resolution images. Layout is all about the effective size of the screen. So resolution doesn't really matter for layout. It's really the size of the screen that you would be looking at. So let's look at a very basic example of a Windows app. This is an example that you've probably seen before. This is just a regular Windows app. If you do a new grid app in Visual Studio, it will look like this, but without the pictures, maybe. If you start using this app, this is what it will look like on a regular tablet with the regular resolution you get on the Surface, for example. So let's take a look at how this scales on various screen sizes. If you start at 10-inch, this is really basically the baseline for Windows 8 apps since day one. 1024 by 768, 10-inch screen. You already notice that there's not too much content on the screen. Once you start going to bigger screens, higher resolutions, obviously the amount of content on the screen will improve. And once you get to the really big screens, you'll see you can fit a lot of content on the screen. This is something that you always need to think about and keep in mind when you are designing your apps. For apps like these, which display collections of content, it really makes sense to show more content when you have more space available. But as we'll see in a demo in a minute, there's also a lot of apps, mostly games, but also other apps, where it doesn't make sense to show more content. You'll just want to show the same content, but make it bigger. So let's take a look at a few apps and see how you can make use of screen real estate and also take into account when users start resizing your app. To do that on the screen, I will use the Windows simulator. So let's hope it plays nicely today. As you probably know, you can use the simulator to look at the various screen sizes and resolutions. And what you will immediately notice, you'll see the screen size in inches, you'll see the resolution, but you'll also see the scaling factor of the screen. So if you look at the Surface Pro, for example, the screen size is equal to most other tablets, but it has a much higher resolution. That's where scaling comes into play, and we'll dive into that a bit more later on. So I told you before about the NOS app we developed. I will use this as an example because we updated this app a while back to use all the new features of Windows 8.1, especially for resizing the view. So this is really the basic view. Nothing too special here. This is just on a regular tablet. It fills the screen. One trick we used here, and it's already good to keep in mind, is that something we learned in Windows Phone is that if you show the next content that's available and you start scrolling on the side of the screen, like just this little piece of the content, it will give a hint to users that you can actually scroll through the content. So this is nothing too special, just a regular Windows 8 app, but it starts to become interesting. Okay, if it wants to work with me, let me try this. Come on, let me use a mouse. It becomes more interesting when you start looking at the split views we have available. So one of the things we did is look at the amount of space that's available, both horizontally and vertically, and think about the ways people want to interact with content. So when you look at a wide screen, you probably want to scroll horizontally like you do everywhere on Windows 8. But once it starts becoming smaller, and you'll see the shape is also higher than it's wide, it makes more sense to start scrolling vertically. There's still enough room to show big pictures to make people scroll. So once you get to this view, you're able to scroll vertically. You'll see the content is still the same. It's still still those news articles, still those groups, but it's oriented vertically now. Once you start decreasing the size even more, and we'll get to the point that we know as the snap view from Windows 8, it doesn't make sense to show the huge pictures anymore because probably users will put this to the side of something else they're doing. So the focus will be more on the text and the content itself and not on the bigger pictures. This is one of the things that is new for Windows 8.1. With Windows 8, we just had this as a snap view. And once you start expanding the view, you'll get the full view. Everything in between is basically free now, and you need to think about it. One of the advantages of actually taking care of this is, for example, the scenario where users want to use the app in portrait mode. If you implement this the right way, it will already recognize in portrait mode that the screen isn't that wide anymore, but it's still long, and it makes sense again to do vertical scrolling. In this case, since it's wide enough, we can still show multiple articles next to each other, but it's oriented vertically. So something else we did was, for example, when reading an article, again, this is a pretty basic Windows 8 layout. You'll have some content on the left, the full article on the right. But again, once you start moving to, for example, a 50-50 view, you don't want to scroll horizontally anymore because there's not enough room to bring all the text into view. So again, we'll make it vertical scrolling, but there's still plenty of room left to show the full list of articles. Once you start decreasing, after a while, we'll recognize that there's not enough room anymore to put an extra view next to it, and we'll just show the article. Of course, you can still move to the next article by swiping. So this is just one of the approaches that you can take to resizing. But there's something else that's interesting. We've already seen that there's now about 9 articles on the screen, or 7 or 8. Once the screen starts growing bigger, there's obviously space for more content. So I will kill the app for a minute. Okay. Just have to make sure it's gone. And I'll switch the screen size. So let's look at a really big screen. This will be 27 inch with the highest resolution available. This will allow us to show more content. So as you can see, we make full use of the bigger screen. Well, you won't see the difference on the beamer, obviously, but there's plenty of space. Now, if we look at a high resolution, but for a smaller screen, that's usually where you need to think about what you're going to do. Because on a Surface Pro, we have a much higher resolution than a regular tablet, but it's still a small screen. So if we increase the amount of content on the screen, it starts to become overwhelming for the user. Fortunately, this is something that is taken care of automatically by the OS. So if I now switch to the 10.6-inch screen with HD resolution, you'll see that there's 140% scaling factor automatically applied. So once I run the app again, you'll see we're back to the normal view. We're working with a higher resolution, but the effective resolution, the resolution that you're actually using to lay out the app, is the same as for the smaller tablets because of the scaling resolution. We'll look at that later in a technical demo. So just for comparison, I would like to show another app which was made by a Dutch developer, which is called Sudoku. This is just a game, and you'll immediately see that when playing games, it doesn't make sense to show, for example, with Sudoku, a bigger game board. You don't want to have more columns or more rows. This is just a game. So if you just play, well, let me pick easy. Don't be too hard on myself. If I move this to a really big screen, well, it doesn't make sense to make the Sudoku board a lot bigger. So this is the other approach. Don't show more content, but just scale your content. So I think this is just a small... these are one of the approaches you can take, but let's take a little bit more of a look into the theory behind this. Remember, layout and the assets. The first thing you'll notice when looking at a device is the actual physical size. So the tablet that has a physical size, if you grow bigger, you have a very big monitor, and it has a certain shape. It can be a widescreen, it can also be a tablet, but you can also hold it in portrait mode. That's basically the first thing you look at when you want to know how should my app look on this screen. When you look at a tablet, you don't think about what is the resolution of the screen or whatever. You see the screen has a certain size, and the objects of my app should have a certain size as well. So then the viewing distance comes into play. If you look at a phone, for example, you'll probably hold it right in front of your face. But if you look at a huge beamer screen, it's going to be far away. So even if this has a much higher resolution, you're far away. So you don't want to put a lot of content on the screen if you're far away, because then you still wouldn't be able to read it. So if you combine those, you'll get to effective resolution. And effective resolution is one of the things that you remember those words. You'll hear more about them, not just in this session, but also when people are talking about universal apps. Effective resolution is something that's really important. Later on, we'll move to the assets, where the detail level is important. Scale factors come into play again. And well, after all, the finishing touches on your app. So screen sizes. I mentioned the view already. For those of you that can afford it, the 40-inch display is available as a touchscreen by Microsoft, the Perceptive Pixel display. It's very expensive, but what we're looking at is basically phones starting from 4-inch to 8-inch tablets to 30-inch all-in-one PCs that are at people's homes. So then again, there's the various shapes you can have for your screen. Tall, which can be either a snap view on a device or your hold your tablet vertically. You have the wide view, the square view. These are some of the shapes that you should think about. Now let's get to viewing distance. And some of you probably had some science classes way back. Let's remember a small part of that. You can do a lot of calculations on this. I won't go through all the mathematical stuff here, but the most important thing to notice is that if a screen is twice as big, but it's also twice as far away, for you as a viewer, it will have the same size. So if you hold your tablet far away, you hold your phone closer, the effective size of the screen for you as a viewer will be the same. So bringing that into practice, if you see a 4-inch phone at a 4-meter distance, it's going to be very small, obviously. And if you look at a very huge screen, a 40-inch screen, it's going to be big. But a phone, obviously, is something that you hold in your hand a lot closer. So if you hold it at, for example, 40 centimeters, it's actually going to have the same amount of your view as a huge screen on a further distance. So we can say it has the same angle view, and if we get to the effective resolution, it will have the same effective resolution. So when you think about app design, your objects on the screen are going to be equal size for you as a viewer. Doesn't necessarily have to be the same in terms of actual resolution, but if you think about the effective resolution, they're going to have the same amount of effective pixels. So if we look again at all the screen sizes, we're going to have all these resolutions, but still, when a user looks at it, it feels like it has the same size. So enough about the theory. Let's look at a few demos. What I want to show you is basically some of the tricks we did in the NOS app to support various screen sizes. And also a few new tricks that are introduced, well, not officially, but by people from Microsoft to handle all the various screen sizes, especially when you look at universal apps, because you can share the same code across Windows, tablets, and phones. So doing the right amount of scaling becomes very important. So let's see if we can find Visual Studio here. Also, if you're in the back and you can't read the code, just raise your hand. I'll try to make everything big enough. To make it recognizable, I actually wanted to start from just a plain project. So we'll just do a blank Windows project. Use a grid app. Let's call it Tech Days Demo, for example. We've probably all seen this example before. Just a plain grid. I'll run it just to give you an idea. The basic template you get with Windows 8.1 doesn't really do anything special to do other view states when you start moving the screen around. It's just a very boring template. So one thing I always like to do is make the sample a little bit more attractive. So I'll make a slight adjustment to the data model so we can get some colors on the screen. If you ever looked at this, this is just a class that parses some sample JSON data and loads it on the screen. I'll make sure to bring in some images to make it a little bit more attractive. So if you're developing apps and you haven't heard of this website before, please remember it, lorempixel.com. If you know about the lorem ipsum text you always use when designing and you don't have any like actual text yet, those guys provide the same, but they do it for images. So I can just hit up lorempixel.com, specify the size of the image I want to have in the URL, and in this case, I prefer to have cats on the screen because they're always nice to look at. So I'll specify that I want to have cats. One thing you need to think about, this will always return a random image of that size, but Windows is smart, so if you reuse the same URL, it starts to do caching, you always get the same response. So if you want to prevent that, just add a random GUID, for example. So this is just a small adjustment that will allow us to have a little bit more to look at. Now at least we'll have some cats and some fun. So now let's move on to the actual visual states that we want to work with. If you're working with XAML and design, you've probably heard of visual states, or you've probably seen visual states. Maybe you don't know everything about them. They are very useful when working with various screen sizes and adjusting to those screen sizes. So what I want to do first, we now have, when we look at the grouped items page, which is the default page for this sample. Is this big enough to read in the back of the room? This is just a regular grid view with a data template that's connected to the grouped items source. If I want to show this in, for example, a vertical scrolling list, I can change the grid view to a list view and basically make it work the same way, but then it starts grouping vertically. I won't be bothering you with constructing a full list view. So I already prepared it, but I will show you that it's basically almost the same code. It's just a list view. I've called it items list view, which will be relevant later when we start working through the visual states. One thing to note is that I'll initially hide it because we're always assuming the default view, and we'll start showing it once it becomes relevant, for example, when the screen is smaller. So one thing I added, and we'll get to that later, is that I have defined data templates for the list view. We'll start working with a regular template, which is equal to the template we use for the grid view. Later on, once we implement the snap view, we will need to look at a smaller item template. So to make it a bit easier to work with that, I've defined a regular template and a small template. So now we need to think about the various visual states. And visual states are something that's very easy to define in Blend when you start working on the design. But I also want to show how it works in code behind. So I prepared some basic code already. I'll walk you through it just to give you an idea. You will always have a default visual state, which will just be display the page as it is designed right now. So it will just show the page as it's specified in XAML right now. Once you start looking at other visual states, you are able to change certain properties, for example, the visibility of an item, but also width, height, etc. This is also something you can really use when implementing animation, but that's something that I won't be looking into today. So what's important to note here is that we have the item grid view, which is the grid view that's available in the default template, and we have the item list view, which is the list view I just added. And what I want to do is, once we get to the medium view, where it's about a square size of a screen, we want to make the list view visible and hide the grid view. And all we have to do is say, we'll have a visual state, we'll call it the medium view, it will have a storyboard and two animations. It won't really be animations because we'll set the time to zero, but what we'll do is take the item grid view, look at the property visibility, and set it to collapsed. The same way, we'll take the list view and set it to visible. So now the question is, how do you trigger those visual states? We need to tell Windows somewhere that it needs to move to a separate visual state. If you remember doing Windows 8 development and you start using the default templates, you had a layout-aware page that would automatically switch to, for example, a snapped visual state when a user would snap the app. You don't have that anymore nowadays, but there's plenty of ways to implement it yourself. I will first show you which is really the easiest way to do it, not necessarily the best way, which is just handling the size changed event of the page you're on. So this will always trigger when the size of the page is changed. And it will give you, in the event arguments, the new size of the page. So in this case, we want to look at the width. So we'll just say if the width is, well, let's say smaller than 800, well, we want to change the visual state. So we do visual state manager dot go to state. Well, we'll do it on this object, the page itself, and the state is called medium. Let's not make any typos here. And in this case, there won't be any animation, so it doesn't really matter what I enter here. If it's not smaller than 800, we want to make sure to go back to the default view state. So now if I run this, first I hope it works. It does. We still have the kittens. And when I start moving to another view state, you'll notice it switches to the list view. Nothing too special here. But you'll notice that when I start making it smaller, it becomes too small to actually show two columns. This isn't the best view anymore. And at this time, I can't really do the snap view anymore. That's because in Windows 8.1, snap view isn't mandatory, but it's easy to activate it. So I'll just quickly do this because it's just a small setting in the manifest. I will really support the 320 pixel width. So moving through this a little bit faster, we'll add a small view state for really the snap views, which is going to use the list view, but we're going to make one addition. Instead of just showing the list view with the regular item template, we will actually set the item template to the other, to the small item template, and you'll see in a minute what that looks like. So instead of the visibility, I'll say we want to change the item template, and it's not going to be visible, but it's going to be the small template. It's the template that we have defined over here in the resources. So we'll pick the other template. So as you'll see, you can change every property from those visual states. And obviously, we need to call this one small. And now all we need to do is think about when do we actually change to small? Well, let's say when the size is smaller than, well, maybe 500. And else, look at this. And now once we run it, if I didn't make any mistakes, we'll see that we don't only support vertical scrolling like this, but once we make it a little bit smaller, we'll see a new template. So if you want to take this a little bit further and make it look really nice, we should work on the margins and the padding, adjust the header. But for now, I just wanted to show how easy it is using Visual State Manager to actually achieve this. There's something else that's good to look at for now. I already mentioned we have the universal apps nowadays where you can run not just on Windows tablets, also on phones. And there's various ways to handle all the sizes of the screens you have right there. And one of the things that's going to be released soon by Microsoft, the code is already available online, it's called layout rules. People are still discussing what's the best way to handle all the screen sizes, etc. I would say layout rules is a nice way of implementing it, but the actual implementation, well, everybody has an opinion about it, let's put it like that. What they want to achieve with this is basically provide an easy way of handling sizing of your controls and your pages on the various screen sizes. And as you just said, I've seen, I implemented some code behind to do the actual switching. There should be easier ways of achieving that by including that in some shared code. So what we have, and let me start zoom it to actually show this a little bit easier. Where did my zoom it go? Ah, there it is. Ah, here we go. You'll see the demo project that I'm showing here was shared by Peter Thor online on his blog, and he promised that soon there will be an official blog post on the Windows blog with this as some sample code attached. You'll have a shared project. It has some layout helpers that we will look at in a second. You'll have a Windows Phone project and just a regular Windows tablet project. And those layout helpers, they provide plenty of rules and some basic controls that you can use. So what you will see is we'll have a layoutable page, a layoutable user control, and some basic rules like a height go to visual state rule, a height update property rule, shape go to visual state rule. So what they are trying to achieve here is allow you to specify very basic rules. For example, if my width is smaller than a certain size, like we just did, go to a certain visual state or adjust a certain property. In this demo, you will see that we'll have a user control, a layoutable user control, and it's called Explorer in this case. It just has a grid, a list, and some items. And what you will see is that when I use this control on a page, so for example, I have a main page here. When I start resizing this, it will automatically adjust the view. So you'll see when it starts smaller, the top bar is a bit smaller. When it becomes even more smaller, and this is just like you've seen in the demo for the NOS, the bar on the left disappears. So this automatically handles the scaling for you. You can implement it in a control. So once you use this control on a page, you don't need to think about the scaling anymore. Just make sure the control adjusts its size, and the control itself will figure out how it should show itself on such a page. So the way this is implemented, if you look at the XAML for this page, is that we just have some regular borders, stack panels, list items here. This is nothing too special. If we scroll to the bottom, you'll see that there are some visual states, show ribbon, show list, hide list, very basic visual states, like I showed you in the demo app as well. We also have some basic rules defined right here, and this is basically the magic that's in the layout rules. For example, we'll have a with update property rule. Unfortunately, they've been nice enough to include a display name, which allows us to see what it actually does. So for example, what it will do is look at the width. If the width is less than 550, so we'll see width is 550, comparison type is less than. It will look at Explorer View properties, which is in this case an object that's defined in the resources. Look at the property button size, and the default value is 50 by 50. Value if false is 80 by 80. So if it's not that wide anymore, we'll make the buttons a bit smaller. And it uses a size converter to actually apply it. What you will see here is that the buttons, they have a binding to those button width and height. So once it's updated through the rule, the layout will adjust as well. There are some other rules as well. There's a rule that looks at the width, hides the advanced buttons, but there's also the width go to visual state rule, and that's a rule that I could actually have used in my sample to move to a certain visual state once the width is smaller than, in this case, 340, or the height is smaller than 300. If you really want to make an app that scales on all the screen sizes, this is one of the examples you can look at. And we'll probably see some other solutions surface from the community as well, because I already spoke to some people who really like behaviors. This is something that you can really do with behaviors as well. So in this project, we also have a Windows Phone page. And what I just want to show is that you have the same case here. So you'll see the control automatically adjusts to the size of the screen. And you'll see, for example, when I change the orientation, it automatically adjusts the view. So these were just some basic examples of adjusting the view. Universal apps are really new for everyone. So once you start working on universal apps, make sure to check online what people are using to implement these kind of scenarios. The layout rules will be available soon on the Windows blog. There's going to be plenty of other solutions on NuGet for sure. So make sure you look at that. But even more important, make sure you think about it when you start designing your app. So with that, I want to move on to the next topic. We already discussed layout. Let's move to assets and spend some time thinking about those, images, videos, and other graphics. So for assets, we have a few things to think about. First of all, detail level. When an icon is really small, you probably don't need a lot of detail. You just want to have this very small icon, and when a user sees it, it immediately needs to get what it's meant to do. But when you look at a huge image, you have all the space to actually show a lot of detail. This is something else than actually adjusting to the resolution. So the quality of the image is just the size you have available and what you are going to show on the image. So for example, Peter Thor has been nice enough to share a picture of a DVD drive. You've probably seen this in Windows before. So when it's really big, you have all the space to show the DVD label, the DVD drive. And when it starts becoming smaller, still noticeable, you can still use this. But if you make it even smaller, it doesn't really make sense anymore to include the text. Because if you're looking at it right now, you're probably not even able to read it. So in this case, it makes sense to replace the image with a less detailed image because it will be much clearer what you're actually trying to show. So don't really try to put all those details in such a small picture. Something else that's relevant is the scale factor. I already mentioned it before. When you have a really high resolution on a small device, you have plenty of pixels to use, but if you specify an image to be 100 pixels wide on such a huge screen, that could be really small. Instead, we have scale factors, which make sure that the 100 pixel wide image is still the same size as it is on a low-res device, But actually, within those 100 pixels, there's way more pixels. So for example, the Surface Pro has a scale factor of 140%, which means that if you specify that something is 100 pixels wide, on the screen, it will actually be 140 pixels. But to make your life easier, this is handled automatically. So what does this mean? If you look at an example here, you'll probably see that on a low resolution screen, the fonts aren't that nice. You can see a bit of, well, you can see the pixels if you really zoom in, if you hold the tablet close to your face. On a high resolution screen, you'll actually be able to use a much higher resolution. For fonts, this usually goes well. For pictures, you need to provide something yourself. So let's look at a bit of a demo for this. This is something that's actually pretty easy to achieve, but a lot of people forget to actually think about it because they think people won't really notice a difference. If you start looking at it on a high resolution screen and compare a low resolution picture to a higher resolution picture, you'll immediately notice a difference. But it's something that, well, you need to see it on an actual device. I won't be able to show the difference on such a screen because the screen resolution won't change. So let's take a look at scaling. I have two projects to show you some of the easy solutions we have. First of all, this is just a really plain Windows project. The only thing it does is show an image. So we'll just have the 80 by 80 image. Don't look at the view box for now. So if you look at this in design view, you'll see that it's just a blue image. I can run it. Won't be anything special. It will just be, on my screen, a blue image. Appears to be a bit purple on the beamer. Doesn't matter. What we want to do is, when we have higher resolution screens available, we actually want to pick a different image. So within the project folder, I already brought in some extra pictures of the same rectangle. And you'll notice those images are getting bigger in steps. So if you look at the file name, this is image scale 100, image scale 140, and image scale 180. I didn't name them scale 100, 140, 180 at random. That's the way Windows automatically handles the scaling for you. So if you look at the XAML here, you'll see that I reference assets slash image.png. And in my assets folder, I just have the image.png file. If I now exclude the regular image.png and I'll bring in the scaled images, you'll be able to see how Windows automatically picks the rightly scaled image. So, as you've just seen, the image scale 100 is still blue. If I look at 140, it's yellow. And if I look at 180, it actually turns red. So to actually show you this, I will need to switch back to the simulator, because in the simulator, I will be able to switch to the various screen sizes. So I'll start with the default tablet again. So just 1366 by 768 resolution. And if I deploy, nothing too special here. But if I start looking at the same size of the tablet, but for example, look at a bigger resolution, and I'll rerun there goes my simulator. If I rerun the app, let's see if it starts in the right resolution now. You'll see we have the same, we're looking at the same size device, higher resolution. It automatically picked, in this case, the yellow picture, which is a higher resolution. It's shown the same size, but there's actually more pixels underneath. Now I can switch to an even higher resolution and run the app again, and you'll see, no surprise, that it actually turned red. So this is one of the easy ways that you can actually take care of supporting those higher resolutions. And when you start looking at Windows Phone apps in those universal app projects, it's even more important. If you look at the most basic Windows Phone devices, a lot of them have 800 by 480 resolution, but we're moving towards HD phones already, which have 1080p on a phone, and that the bar is going to be raised even higher. And that's when it's going to be really important how you take care of the scaling. Just including a few images in various sizes is really easy to do, so something you should definitely consider. So for images, you probably don't have a lot of other solutions than just including those various assets, but you also have icons, for example, that are probably pretty simple shapes. If I look at my other scaling sample project, I'll just show you one example of this. Where's my set starter project? You'll see what I have right here is just a very simple icon. This comes from modernuiicons.com. You've probably heard of that website. It's a very good place to get some of the icons. This is something that you can easily use on an app bar on Windows Phone. For the sake of this demo, I've put it on the screen right here. On the right, you see the image I just included. On the left, you see the same image, but then inverted. And the difference is, and I'll show you in code what it really looks like. Down here, you actually see the image. So I've put them both in a view box, which is a way of scaling them, which we'll do in a minute. Width and height are 100 for both, but one is specified as a path, which is one way of using vector graphics in your project. And the other one is specified as an image. You'll see that if I, for example, open this in Blend, if I want to resize those objects, the image, you could already see that it was pretty low res. If I blow it up bigger, the resolution won't change. It will look really ugly. But if you look at the path, which is not defined as pixels, but just as a shape, if I put that in a view box and make it really big, since it's not pixels, but just a shape, it will be able to render it very nice and smooth. So to show you that, I will actually remove the specified height and width here. And the view box, as you can see, will stretch it uniformly, so it will scale it up to the size that it has available. They're just in an evenly spread grid with two columns. So now if I run this, you'll see that on the left, we didn't change anything. We have a very sharp picture of the Windows logo. On the right, well, if you see that in an app, you'll probably think this guy was lazy. It's ugly. Use higher quality assets. That's one of the advantages. And actually, if you look at Blend, especially with those paths, you'll see that you can easily resize. Oh, wait. Still my old view box, I think. I can basically resize it to any shape, any size, and it won't start to look ugly. I can even tell the view box not to stretch uniformly, but just to fill. And I will start basically distorting the shape. It will still be sharp. I can basically do everything to it. If I look at the image on the right, I can tell the view box again, stop stretching uniformly, do fill, and you'll see that resizing doesn't really work that nicely, doesn't play that nicely, because we just have this limited amount of pixels available. So when thinking about scaling and when thinking about apps nowadays, you'll know that new devices will have higher resolutions. Some of them will be bigger, but some of them will have the same size. So it becomes even more relevant to include higher resolution assets with every project you do. And if you have the chance, try to use those vector graphics because they're easy to use. Once you have them inside of your project, you can play around with them any way you like. I already mentioned the website. Where's my browser? Let's pick the correct one for this demo. modernuiicons.com. One of the great things about those guys is that they provide everything they have, not just as images, but also as those vectors. And it's easy not just using those factors, but also combining them. You don't have to mess around with Photoshop or Paint or whatever tool you use to do that. So keep this in mind when you're designing apps. You can just pick any, I can just pick any of those icons, take this other path and paste it into the project here. And for example, make a canvas and put the other path inside as well. Okay. Let me make the screen size a little bit better and remove my So now if I put my canvas in the right position. Oh, let's bring it out of the view box for a second. Something is not right here. Ah, there we go. Where did my zooming go? There we are. What you will see is that if you have two separate paths, for example, you have plenty of ways to interact with them from within Blend. So what I said, you can combine those. You can do anything from combining them, dividing them, subtracting one from the other, take the intersection, exclude the overlap. So the thing is, it's very easy to go from this to one single path. You can be very creative with it, and still you will end up with shapes that you can resize any way you like, and they will stay high quality. So keep in mind, if you have any chance of using a vector, do so. If you really need to use image assets, try to get them in the highest resolution possible and resize them with a decent tool. So resize them to the assets that you actually need. This will give you the best experience on every device. On the other hand, if you're developing for a specific device, if you're only developing for specific types of phones or only for tablet, don't waste your time on doing every asset available because it probably won't be necessary. So with that, there's one other thing that's pretty relevant for us as developers. Sometimes you do want to do something special that's related to the actual size of the screen. So do we have any code available? Fortunately, we have. We can just look at what the current scaling factor for the screen is. We have a few properties available within the display information. So let me list them for you. We have resolution scale. This comes from the days when we only had Windows. So no universal apps yet, just WinRT for Windows, tablets, and PCs. And it used to be an enum, which specified the scale factors you had. 100, 140, 180, so the 1.4 scaling and 1.8. Actually, since the Windows phones come into play now and the amount of screen sizes and actual pixels on the screen that go with it, they decided to drop the enum because the enum really limits the amount of combinations you have and just use a double to actually show the scale factor. They call it raw pixels per view pixel. That's exactly what it is. So you have a few pixel and you just a pixel within the XAML you design, and it will tell you how many actual raw pixels on the screen will be within your pixel. If you really want to do something where it's relevant to know the actual size in centimeters or inches in this case of something on the screen, you can use raw DPI X and raw DPI Y. The most important cases to use this are, for example, when you're working with real-world objects like, well, some of them are mentioned, specific hardware or a ruler where you want to be able to measure something on the screen of your device. But apart from that, you probably want to stay away from those because they shouldn't be actually relevant for you. If you're really special and you want to work with Direct2D or even more old legacy code, you could use logical DPI, but for now I would just say, stay away from it, avoid it. So just recapping some of the things we already covered. When you are designing your app, think about screen size and shape, the screen sizes and the shapes that you want to support. If you start building an app for Windows 8.1, you know that a user isn't limited to just the wide view of your app. You know he's going to be able to resize it, and if you don't take this into account, you'll end up with a bad user experience. I'll show you a few more samples in a second, where you'll see that if you implement this the right way, it will actually improve the way people use your app. If you don't implement it, it will make your app less useful. Think about the effective resolution. I showed some theories behind it. Think about the fact that when a user is further away from a screen, and this is more relevant when you think about those huge all-in-ones people have at home, huge screens for their PCs compared to just a small smartphone. Think about the fact that resolution isn't everything. It's more about the actual size of the screen. And then the assets. We spent some time talking about assets. Think about how big a picture, an image, an icon is actually going to be on the screen. If it's really small, don't waste your time on bringing in all the details. Just make sure it's an effective icon. If you have more size, do bring in the details, like we've seen in the DVD example. When looking at scale factors, I showed you very shortly how easy it is to actually bring in assets for those various scale factors to actually use the higher resolution that's available on the screen without using complex code. Just use one reference to the image, and the platform will do everything for you. Just make sure, once you start using image assets, that you have them available in the highest resolution possible so you can scale them to the various factors. So with that, we have about 20 minutes left. I can show you a bit more samples, but for now, if there's any questions, please feel free to ask them. Yes, over in the front.
What will happen if I forget to add an image of a certain scale which the user is using?
Mm-hmm. So the question is, if you forget about some of the scale factors, what will actually happen? Well, fortunately, Windows will just look at this and try to... Oh, I need to pick the correct sample. They will just try to see if a specific image is available. If it isn't, we'll just default to the regular picture. So you're not obliged to bring in scaled assets for every single picture in your app if you don't have them available. But probably there's going to be a few cases. For example, if you have your very huge logo when you start your app, or which is always visible on the screen, you want to make that look the best way possible, just include it. If you don't have it available, it doesn't really matter. You can always also just, like you see here, use a few regular pictures and only for certain ones provide actually scaled pictures. Okay, so any more questions at this time? One of the things that I still wanted to talk about is, and that's pretty relevant when you start thinking about apps that actually have input. Booking.com is one of the apps we build as well. And one of the things you're confronted with, especially if you're working with designers that are really used to working with tablets, but don't really think about the actual users with a hybrid device or a laptop which actually has a keyboard, one of the things you might forget about is that when I touch here, I will get a touch keyboard pop up, and everything will probably be fine. But you can have a very different user experience when a user clicks it and actually starts typing. So in this case, we made sure the whole screen moves up. This is something that you, if you don't do anything crazy, will get for free with the platform. But there's also cases where you might want to make sure that all the inputs are actually reachable when a touch keyboard pops up. One of the other things that's important is that people are used to forms filling them in on the web, and if they are used to working with their keyboard, they will want to tap through all of the inputs that are available. If you don't take this into account and you will just look at it from the perspective of a touch user that will just touch the relevant input fields, or always will use a mouse. Oh, it's always easy to use clicking to go through everything. But it's important to think about actually being able to type something and using your keyboard to select something, to actually select the dates, etc. The thing is, it isn't that hard to implement it. You still have your tab order available, which is just XAML property where you can set just a number for the order in which it will pass through all the through all the controls. You can also decide that some controls shouldn't be selectable, others should. And if you're looking at, for example, lists like this one, you'll see that highlighting is very relevant. I can also show this in the NOS app, for example. If it's still working, it is. Some people start changing the default templates, and they forget about the fact that if somebody is navigating using his keyboard, he will actually need some kind of indication of the item that he has actually selected. So the actual hover state, where you can see that your mouse is on top of an image, is pretty common, and you always have your mouse cursor available. But if you only navigate using a keyboard, do make sure that people are still able to navigate the app. And as you can see in this app everywhere, you can just use the arrows on your keyboard to navigate through everything. And that's also something that people always ask for. Use the backspace key to actually move a step backward. Those are some considerations that you always need to take into account when thinking about all these form factors. Also, never forget that a surface, while it is a tablet, has an attachable keyboard. People actually do use that, so keep that in mind. So, any more questions at this time? We still have about 15 minutes left, but this was all the content I really prepared. I can still show you, for example, how the code for the display information worked and how you can actually use that. Otherwise, thank you for attending. I will be here all day if you have any questions. And if you start working on some apps, do let me know the apps you are working on. If you have any questions or any remarks, I'm also available on Twitter. Find me there. After this session, I will post a blog post on my blog where I will list all the content that I mentioned. For example, the layout rules that I quickly showed that will be released soon. They are available already. You can already start playing with them. I will always list some apps that are good examples of where the various view states are actually taken into account. And with that, I think we can wrap up the session. So thanks again for attending.